Hello, this is Mark Borsma, and I'm speaking with Cecil Lewis on June 13, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her experiences growing up in early Athabasca.
I am the granddaughter of Daniel Boone and Nettie Goodwin. They left Galesburg, Illinois, United States, on a life-changing journey to Athabasca along with their four children in 1914. Daniel's brother Archie and David had been in the Tomato Creek area for a number of years, running a stopping place on the banks of the Athabasca River for teamsters hauling freight to Fort McMurray, and they strongly urged Dan and family to join them. My grandparents, with their children, journeyed to Athabasca. Their four children were Pearl, my mother, Catherine, Walter, and Daniel Jr. After a few years, Daniel returned to the United States to resume his employment with the railroad. Nettie and her children remained in Athabasca. The two girls married soon after they moved to the Saudi area, where Nettie had bought a farm. She farmed this property with the help of the two boys. They later married and acquired farms of their own. Pearl, my mother, married Sam McKelvey. Catherine married Walter Hobb. Walter married Faye Weekly, and Daniel married Mary Cobsey. When the family were grown and on their farms of their own, Nettie built a house on the southeast corner of Walter and Catherine Hobbs' land along the Saudi Road. As Grandpa Goodwin was employed on the railroad, my grandmother was able to travel back to the States quite a few times. Nettie was able to support herself as housekeeper for many families in the area, along with help from her family. Daniel Jr. and his family moved to British Columbia in 1940. Nettie's last home was built on a corner near Swanberg's store in the Saudi district. After she fell and broke her hip, her sister Margaret Goodwin came to live with her, and after a couple of years they moved into Athabasca and rented an apartment. They were both quite elderly then, and they moved to St. Vincent de Paul home when it opened. Aunt Margaret died there. When the home closed, Nettie was moved to a home in Edmonton, where she died only a very short time later. My grandfather returned to Athabasca in 1953 when he had cancer, and he lived with my mother and father until he died that October. All of the Goodwins that came from the United States and remained in Athabasca are buried in the Athabasca Cemetery. All marriages and funerals were held in the United Church. I'm going to add a few bits of information that you might find interesting. When my grandparent and their family moved to Athabasca, his brother Archie Goodwin had sold a silver fox fur and a set of moose horns to pay the expenses for the family's move to Tomato Creek from Illinois. Except for Daniel Jr., all of the family remained in the Athabasca area. Archie's daughter, Olive Fredrickson, wrote the book Silence of the North. Archie's great-granddaughter also wrote a book. Lois Trottier wrote a book about her family. It is called Finding Stella. The three Goodwin brothers married three Gennaro sisters. Archie Goodwin's son Lee married a lady named Cecil, for whom I was named. Ruby and John, first cousins, children of Archie and David, married. And they had to go back to the United States to get married because it was for cousins to marry in Canada was illegal. I'm the seventh generation descendant of Earl Boone, brother of Daniel Boone of United States Frontiersman. There's probably other things that...
All done there?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Good. Let's go through some of the questions then, and some of these might prompt up some memories that you might have.
Okay.
Okay. The first one we have is, how long have you lived in this area?
I was born here.
You're born here?
Mm-hmm.
And you've been here all your life?
Except for six years I lived in Edmonton. I've always lived here.
And what did you think of Edmonton compared to
I didn't like city living.
You didn't, eh?
No.
So what were you doing for 6 months in Edmonton?
I worked at the Edmonton General Hospital, yes.
Okay. So you were a nurse or something? Or?
Pardon me?
Were you a nurse or?
I first worked in Central Supply, and then I transferred to the front office in the laboratory.
Wow. Neat. So when you came back to Athabasca, did you get in working in the hospital
I started. I worked summer relief when I came back to Athabasca because I had remarried.
Right.
And Bansley and I spent our winters in Arizona and Mexico.
Nice.
And we did that for 20 years.
And this is your second husband?
Yes.
Yes. That's nice.
Yes. Yeah.
And getting divorced was kind of a big deal back then, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, actually, I have my grandmother's divorce decree.
Oh, your grandmother?
A copy.
Is that right? Eh?
In 1890-something.
Oh, so it did happen.
Yeah.
But not,
yeah.
I think there was a little more of a stigma attached
before. Oh, certainly there was.
Now?
Yeah.
Nobody gives it a second thought, I don't think.
No.
Not too much.
No. Well, people aren't getting married anymore.
Well, that's true. They don't have to get divorced if you don't get married, do you?
Right, right. Sometimes maybe that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, sometimes. Save a lot of money.
Yeah.
Save a lot of paperwork, mm-hmm. and save a lot of money in the divorce if there's a divorce that doesn't work out. Yeah.
Yes.
And you talked a little bit about both your parents. What did what did your dad do for a living?
He was a farmer.
He was a farmer, and your mother was a farm wife. And what kind of... farming did you do? Crops
mixed farming.
So that would be, for us city boys, that would mean what?
Well, they grew grains, different grains, and cattle, and pigs, and chickens, and...
pretty well everything then, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you grew all the food that you needed to feed your animals.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that a hard thing to do, or was it usually pretty manageable?
It was hard work.
Yeah, that I believe. But did you?
I think a very rewarding work.
Was it hard to make ends meet with that job?
Well, I was born in 1933, and that was just in the middle of the Depression.
Oh, yes.
And I was the ninth child, so then everyone was in the same boat at that time, so.
But you still had enough to eat.
Yes. Yes.
I guess the people who would be the farmers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Would be the group
it was a good place to be during the Depression because you had your meat and you had your vegetables and...
The necessities of life, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Absolutely. Is there anything you'd like to tell about your childhood growing up? Any memorable experiences?
Oh, there's lots of things. Yeah. But... you might want to go back to when my father came. He came in 1914.
Okay.
And he and a friend had headed west to see the Rocky Mountains. And when they got to Edmonton, they heard about all this land that was available someplace called Athabasca. And so he filed on the homestead north of the river. In the Saudi area. He never saw his friend again. He never went back to Ontario.
Huh.
And he never did see the Rocky Mountains.
Is that right? Never completed the journey.
No, he didn't.
No. Okay, so how about growing up for you?
Well, as I said, I was the youngest girl in a family of 10.
Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think, looking back, it was a good thing. I always say it was wasn't, but I think it was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a large large close-knit family.
Okay, great.
And music was always a very big part of our growing up. And I started school in a one-roomed log schoolhouse.
With the wood-burning stove?
Pardon me?
With the wood-burning stove?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. And there were nine children in my grade, and I was the only girl.
Oh, but they had all the grades together in the same
grade
room, right?
All in the same room, yes.
Just the grade eights or more than one?
No,
grade?
All grades from 1 to 8 through
from
8.
Grades 1 through 8, okay.
Yeah. In grade 3, by the time I was in grade 3, we had they built another school, a wooden thing with a cement basement and at that time a pretty modern schoolhouse.
Yeah. So did you move over to the new one, or
yes,
did they
yes.
just split the kids up into two
no,
groups?
No, everyone moved to the new
to the new
school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did that have a wood-burning stove too? Or?
Oh, yes, a big pot-bellied stove. Yeah.
And that worked well?
Yeah.
Kept everybody warm?
I guess it did, yeah.
Well enough, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So we walked, I think, about a mile and a quarter to school.
That's not too bad.
No. No, some of the kids had almost 4 miles to walk.
Yeah. And in really, really terrible weather, it wouldn't be a lot of fun, but a mile's not too bad.
Well, you know, when you're walking, you stay warmer. And
that's
not,
true.
Yeah. Anyway, we did it.
A lot warmer than sitting down on a bus station.
Pardon me?
A lot warmer than sitting waiting for the bus.
Well, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I remember waiting for a bus in Edmonton, and I'm telling you, that's no fun.
Yeah, I remember that too.
So, when I finished grade 8, that was the end of my schooling. My father had a stroke the year before.
Uh-huh.
And my sister Hattie was in grade 9 that year, and she quit school, and we did the farming. We did that for a few years. I married very young. I was 16 when I got married, and
yeah.
I sometimes think, you know, what do you know when you're 16?
Well, not a lot. I didn't know a lot when I was 16.
But I guess you learn fast.
Yeah,
you grow up fast.
Yeah. And what did you do in the summertime? What was your favorite activity in the summertime?
Walking over to Fairhaven to watch the baseball games.
Oh, a baseball fan.
Yes.
Ah, cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So did you have a group of friends you went down there with? Or just
my sisters.
Your sisters.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. So most of the time you hung around with your sisters instead of other kids?
Yes. There were always dances. Every Saturday night there was always a dance somewhere.
Wow. So that sure doesn't happen anymore.
That doesn't, no.
No. And how did you like that?
Oh, great. It was great.
It was great, eh?
Yes.
A good way to meet boys.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad. Maybe there needs to be more of that now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure it was all well supervised too.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess sometimes it wasn't, because there were older people that the men especially would come, and they'd been drinking, and sometimes there were fights outside. And
oh, okay. Yeah.
So there was actually no supervision.
People blowing off steam.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about in the wintertime? What were your favorite things to do in the winter?
At school, we played football.
Football or football or soccer football?
Well, I guess it was more soccer than football.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the summer, it was baseball. Right. I was never good at either.
Yeah, no, I was. You and I both. So it says here, how did young couples meet? Well, I know how you got. Young couples met at the dances, probably.
Yes, they did.
Eh?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Would you like to tell me anything else about your family?
They were all very musical.
How did you meet your spouse?
Pardon me?
How did you meet your spouse?
I met him I met Gordon through my sister Agnes. At the time, Agnes was working at the hospital, and they had the nurse's residence quite near the hospital, and the boys' hostel was close there too. So some of the boys were older than the girls that were working at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so I met him through her.
And you have children of your own, do you?
Pardon me?
Do you have children of your own?
Yes, I have 3 living children. My son Pat passed away 7 years ago. He was 57. I have 4 children that died as infants.
Oh, that is sad.
Yeah.
So you have 9 children?
Yeah.
Wow. You kept the tradition going.
Yeah.
A lot of the ladies I talked to have very large families.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So why were they passing away if it's not too painful to talk about? Was it
for different reasons?
All different reasons?
Yes, all different reasons, yeah. Two of them I miscarried during
during the last
6th or 7th month of my pregnancy.
Right, yeah.
My 3 daughters, Holly lives in Edmonton, Shirley lives in Mournville, and Linda's in Camrose.
Oh, 2 of them stayed pretty close.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So do you see them still?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. And how do you have any memories of them growing up? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Anything specific? Grad, maybe, or their first boyfriend, or their first date?
I suppose that we were a pretty normal family. I went to work when Shirley wasn't even born. Lynn was about 5 years old. I went to work at the local telephone office, and I worked on the switchboard for about 6 years.
Wow.
And
it's a whole different field of work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How did you like that job?
I didn't care too much for it.
No.
No.
Too redundant?
It just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
So when the switchboard went direct dial, all the switchboard operators were laid off, and we could have been moved to other places, but I was married with a family and pretty well settled here, so we stayed. And and then a few months later I went to work at the hospital. They hired me on for 10 weeks. At that time, all small hospitals got the student aides. They were still in training.
Okay.
And they would come to a small hospital to train as part of their training for 10 weeks.
Okay.
And the hospital had applied for 4 and only got 3. So I was hired on for 10 weeks while they were there.
To fill that 4th spot.
To fill the 4th spot.
Right.
And that was in December of 1964. And I left. I left in 1976.
So you stayed there quite a while.
Yes, and I did enjoy that job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you like more being with people and building relationships. And
yes. Yes.
Helping people and stuff like that, rather than just a quick tie.
Yes.
Work,
yeah. That's right.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
Next.
Yes.
Yeah. A little more outgoing and social.
And the only thing wrong with that job was that I did the same work as the certified aides and only got half their salary.
Yeah, well, that is not fair. That is unjust.
In fact, I did more things that most of the other aides weren't allowed to do. I worked in the operating room.
And I bet you worked for a man too, right?
Oh, yes.
Yep, otherwise you would have got a raise.
Yep.
Did you have any fears or hopes when your kids were really small?
Just whatever, all the hopes and fears that all parents have.
Yeah. Well, I hope they turn out and have a nice family and a nice mm-hmm. husband and some nice kids, and we all hope that they don't
yes,
have an
yes,
accident and
yes.
get hurt, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's
okay.
right. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, I understand.
That's right.
Absolutely.
But I'm very proud of my children.
Yeah. And how old are your children now, just out of curiosity?
Well, like I say, Pat was 57 when he died. He was a commercial baker.
Right.
Lynn is 62 now, and when her children were in their teens, she went back to university and got her teacher's
Good
certificate.
For her. Good for her.
And she taught for 10 years. What she wanted to do was to teach adults.
Need more school.
Yeah. Well, she lived in Daysland, which was a small town at that, and there just wasn't the opportunity there anyway.
Right.
So she taught at the high school, and she taught junior and high math and English. And then she taught, like I say, she taught for 10 years, and then she went to work for the literacy program in Camrose, and she's still there. Holly never finished high school. She was a stay-at-home mom for many years, as was Shirley. Both of them were stay-at-home moms, mainly because if they worked, most of their salary, if not all, would go for childcare.
Yeah. So there's no point in working at all.
So there wasn't much point in working.
But in your situation, you didn't stay home with the kids, did you?
No.
But you had a better paying job.
And I was lucky in that I lived in Athabasca, and I had a big family
right.
support. My
yeah.
sisters and my mom. Holly, right now, I think, is employed as a short order cook at a restaurant in South Edmonton.
Oh.
And Shirley is working at Walmart.
And how old is Shirley?
In St. Albert.
How old is Shirley?
Pardon me?
How old is Shirley?
How old is Shirley? She's 54.
Getting close to retirement, eh?
Yes.
Pretty close.
Yeah, I have 10 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren.
Wow, nice.
Yes.
A nice big family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little jealous.
Well, my grandparents lived to be a good age. I think my grandfather was 79, and my grandmother was 94.
Oh, my goodness.
My grandmother and her 2 sisters all lived until their late 80s and into their 90s. And she was born in a family of 3 girls and 3 boys, and the boys all died very young.
Mm-hmm. So what was... Well, we know what you did for a job. What was a typical mealtime like at your house?
When I was working, whoever came home first in the afternoon started peeling potatoes. They started. Whatever we were going to have, they started.
Didn't want to be the first one home. Okay, I got that.
And in the early years, we sat down all together for our meals.
Nice.
In the later years, it kind of, after we got television, that kind of changed a little.
Yeah, and some in front of the TV and some at the table. Well, with 9 kids.
Yeah.
Must have been a big table.
Yeah.
So what would you eat?
Oh, when I was growing up?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we always, the whole family sat down to eat at the same time.
Yeah. Did you pray before every meal?
No.
No? Did you, for a typical fare as far as what you would eat would be what? Potatoes.
Yeah. Oh. There was always some kind of meat on the table, eggs, mostly farm produce.
Right, okay. So maybe chickens or beef from the cow.
Yes.
Stuff
yes,
like that.
Yeah, we did our own butchering.
So you had meat, veggies,
mm-hmm.
probably lots of veggies from like our farm garden and stuff.
We picked berries. I hated picking berries. Well, blueberries weren't bad.
They were pretty tasty, but they weren't that much fun picking them.
When we picked strawberries, that was mosquito time in the summer.
Well, that's not good.
And raspberries, all the raspberries, it was always wild raspberries. And it was all burned out areas. That's where they grew the best.
Yeah. Well, much like the ash in the soil.
Yeah. Huh. But when I was growing up, we learned to work. As soon as we were old enough to do anything, we did it.
Yeah.
We milked cows before we went to school.
Yeah. And that's something that changed quite a bit, I think, over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, some families still might have that. That work ethic built into the children, but so many of them don't. Eh? Yeah, that's good. Did you have chores to do?
Yeah.
Did you do basically what you were told? What was your chores?
Well, no, we knew what we had to do. In the morning, we would get up and we would milk cows, and then we would maybe do anything else that cropped up that had to be done before we left. My father, by the time we finished milking the cows, he was out working in the fields or in the winter. That was the time when he would go out and haul in logs for our wood.
All right. We're very slow. Mm-hmm.
And so then we would get cleaned up and trot off to school. And then the last 2 years
did after you make your own lunches?
Pardon me?
Make your own lunch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The last few years when there was only Hattie and my younger brother and I at home, Danny's job was to get the wood in. My job was to haul snow and fill up a big 45-gallon thing of snow that was melted for water.
Okay.
Because there was always a shortage of water.
Sure.
And Hattie would go out to the barn and start doing chores.
Wow. Everybody had their roles, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Hard working, too.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the fall, we'd stoot the grain, bundles of grain. And
what stoot the grain mean?
Oh, you
gotta remember, I'm a city boy.
The grain was cut with a binder, and it was all kind of shot into a bundle and tied.
Okay.
And then to stook it, you would take two of these bundles and prop them up.
Okay.
And you would do those two, and then you would do two more, and then you would put two more at the ends. And that made a stook.
So you got 6x3. Sorry, 3x2.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a stook.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So anything that had to be done on the farm, we did it.
Yeah. Feels like a lot of work.
Yeah.
So when you went out there and cut grain, did you use a scythe?
No. They had this what they called a binder.
They had a binder, so they had a machine. Even
a machine,
at that point,
yeah.
That
it was pulled by the horse drawn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But no motor on it. The movement of the horse drawing, it probably pulled the gears and made everything
just,
go.
Yeah.
That's cool. Neat. Do you have any special memories of community dances, celebrations, other activities?
Well, the dances were always fun. When I was 14... they had a box social. Do you know what a box social is?
You can bring your own lunch?
The women brought a box lunch.
Okay.
And then the men bid on these box lunches.
Okay.
And I was 14, and the fellow that got mine was probably 50 years old.
Oh, yeah. Kind of a big range there.
So that's one of my memories for our dances. But they were always fun. We had our concerts and just before Christmas every year.
Yeah. Did the school put that on?
Yes. Yeah. So we did little skits and songs. And
sounds like you had a lot of fun growing up, actually.
Yes.
A lot of work, too. But
oh, yes.
Sounds
yes.
like you had a lot of fun doing it, too. Yeah. Yeah. Says, what are your memory of the area in those days? Has Athabasca changed hugely? I'm sure it has.
Oh, yes. Yes, sure it has.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, about how many buildings do you think there would have been altogether?
In town?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or how many blocks, maybe, would be a better question.
The main part of town was maybe five blocks going east and west, and north and south, pretty much what it is now, until, you know, if you don't count like the high school hill and all that other area.
Right.
Of course, there was nowhere to go until they built the school up on the hill there.
So there was no high school hill area. There is no Hees area.
No.
What about LTIS? No area there either.
No
area around there.
No, the only school.
And probably nothing up by the Canadian Tire either. Yes?
There were homes up there.
Oh, there was? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
There were homes up there. Right. And they went as far as Muskeg. Is that Muskeg Creek to the west? Yeah, there were homes just on the other side of the creek, but that was the end of that.
That was far as away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
I was 8 years old the first time I ever came to town, and I had to break my arm doing that.
No.
I broke my arm riding a cow.
You're not supposed to ride cows. Even that city boy knows that.
Oh, we did. We did. I cut my leg half off climbing a tree.
Ouch.
In grade two, when we braked for Christmas, I didn't go back to school till on in March.
Wow. A long time, but some bones take it
for different reasons. Because my brother came home for a leave from the army for Christmas, and just after he got home, he got the mumps.
Oh,
and most of the family got had the mumps except me, so I had to break my arm. Well, I broke my arm, and I was out of school then for quite a while. And before I got back, my mother had been staying with a relative whose husband was dying. And she came home, and the day after, the other fellow's daughter got scarlet fever, so we were quarantined again. So it was just one thing after another.
Right. Wow. Did you like school?
Yeah.
Or would you rather have stayed home?
Well, I guess I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just curious. Yeah. Well, the last question I have to give you is if there's any advice that you'd like to give your grandchildren's generation. What message would you give your grandkids if you're going to leave them a message?
I was asked that yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I had to say, keep your sense of humor.
I like that.
And if you don't have one, find one.
Yeah, or life's going to be hard.
And learn to laugh at yourself.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
It is.
Yeah.
But start with little things.
Yeah.
My name is Rosemary Neves, And it is April 5th, 2017. And I'm sitting with Cecil Lewis in her apartment. And we're going to be talking about Cece's early days in Athabasca and all the things that happened down through the 30s and so on. So would you like to start then, Cece?
Okay. Well, I was born on October 24th, 1933, in the old hospital on the site which is now Venture Place. I was the eighth girl to be born in a family of 10. Growing up in the Depression in a large family wasn't always easy, but I think we had a closeness of family that a lot of people don't have, families don't have anymore. That was before television, and we never even had a radio until I was 8 years old. We made our own enjoyment. There was always guitars and fiddles and a lot of music in our home. And so I learned to sing at a very young age, which has carried me through all my life.
You still do.
I still do.
Yeah.
When you're the ninth child in a family, it's hard to get any attention. And so I think this is a lot of why I did so much singing and I became a storyteller. And both things I still do. I'm still a storyteller.
Yes.
And at times it's hard to find a place where you have any privacy or a place to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my first beginning of my admiration for old trees. There was an old tree out at the southwest corner of our cattle corral. And I could climb that tree and be away from everyone. And I could sing as loud as I wanted, and I didn't bother anybody. But yet I had the connection with everyone and everything on the farm. And I could see for miles.
Oh, what a great spot.
It was a great spot. I loved that tree. And most of my life, wherever I live, I will find a tree.
So they continued to be special.
They continued to be special. There was nothing I enjoyed more than to go out into the forest of spruce trees when the wind was blowing. And to just be there, and all you can hear is the wind.
Well, you're painting quite a picture for me here.
Like I said, life wasn't always easy. There was never a lot of money around.
Mm-hmm.
But we managed. We were on a farm. We had our cattle and gardens, and we picked berries, which I hated.
Okay, blueberries.
Blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, whatever was available, cranberries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
would your mom can them?
She canned them, yes. And she canned a lot of meat.
Okay.
Like for over the summer, and they would butcher a pig and salt down the meat.
Mm-hmm. So the canning would be like beef, chicken,
yeah. Yes, vegetables and fruit,
mm-hmm.
jams and jellies, and yes.
Everybody pitched in.
Oh yes, yes, yeah.
Well, you had how many? You had.
There were 10 children.
Ten children. So there was one more after you.
Yes, yes, my. I always say the prince was born a year and a half later.
So in terms of your brothers and sisters, what was the age span like between the youngest?
There was usually about a 2-year spread.
Okay.
My sister Nettie, I think, was 16 when I was born.
Okay.
So I think she took over a lot of my care.
Mm-hmm. She's yeah. second mom?
She's second mom, right. Mm-hmm. When I was, I think, probably about 4 years old, I contracted scarlet fever and developed into a very serious problem. They didn't think I would live. They couldn't put me in hospital because I was contagious, so I was looked after at home.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Myers said later that if I'd gone to hospital, I probably never would have lived because I didn't get the 24-hour, 7-days-a-week care that I got at home.
Oh, is that right? And nobody else got it? Just
oh,
you?
Yes, but I was the only one that
really got sick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then I think, I guess I was a tomboy. I cut my left leg badly climbing a tree.
Oh.
I was never taken to the hospital or to a doctor. It was looked after at home. I think I have a huge scar on the back of my leg, and I'm sure it should have been stitched, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But they took care of it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I survived.
There must have been a line of toughness running through you.
I think so. Yeah. I started school when I was 7. I went to a little one-room school. There was 8 grades.
Now, you were across the river, eh?
Yes.
Was the school across the river?
Yes. The municipal district was Soddy, but the school was Youngville.
Oh. I've never heard that before. Soddy,
yeah.
I've heard it.
Yes, yeah. The school was Youngville. It was a little log cabin, and Dorothy Stolen was my teacher.
One room school,
yeah. Mrs. Brody taught me the second year, and when we left school before Christmas for our Christmas holiday, I didn't get back to school until on in March because my brother came home on army leave for Christmas, and He got the mumps while he was there, and everyone else except my father and I got the mumps.
Oh.
So not to be outdone, I broke my arm riding a cow.
Oh. My goodness.
And
how old were you then?
I was about 8.
Okay.
And it was my right arm. I broke it in 2 spots. 2 different bones were broken.
Mm-hmm.
And before I was able to get back to school, my mother had been staying with a friend whose husband was dying. And just after she came home, their daughter, Jean, she broke out with the measles or something, so we were quarantined again. So I missed a lot of school that year, but I did pass.
So that would have been grade 2 then?
Yeah, I was in grade 2, yeah.
Did you have far to walk?
About 1.25 miles,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Years later, someone asked me if I was going to walk the Peace River Trail. I said, no, thank you. I did that for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. That was walking.
Yeah.
Did you want to mention the names of your sisters and brothers?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My eldest sister was Nettie, and then next was Billy, and then Catherine,
mm-hmm.
and then May, and then Dorothy,
and then Agnes, and then Ruth, and Hattie, and I, and then Danny came, or Bernard, as most everyone called him, came as the last one.
So a majority of the family were girls then?
Oh yeah, there was eight of us. Two boys.
So the oldest and the youngest were boys, is that right?
No, Nettie was the oldest. Billy was next.
Oh, he was next, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Our Sunday school teacher was Catherine Repian, who was a Nance Gaville, and my sister Catherine. And at Christmas and at Easter, and I think Mother's Day, Reverend Stark would come out for a service.
From the United Church?
From the United Church.
Mm-hmm. So would they hold a service in the school then?
No, that was in the Saudi Hall.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they was he like visiting once a month or not that frequently?
No. I don't think he visited that much except for those
very
times.
Special occasions, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think there was another man named Ralph Ball that periodically came out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what church he was from.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't recognize that name from the United Church.
No.
Certainly Stark.
No. My sister-in-law was my teacher from grade 4 to grade 8. And the last 2 months of grade 8, Audrey Weldon came for a, what do they call that? She was a teacher's practice. Yes.
So she was doing a practicum?
Yes. My father had his first stroke when I was 13.
Oh my goodness.
And Hattie was in grade 9. She quit school and put the crop in that spring.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm. When I finished grade 8, then I quit, and we did the farming for I think the next 2 years. And then my sister Nettie and her husband, who had been living in Victoria, moved back, and my brother-in-law did most, and my younger brother by that time did a lot of most of the farming. Hattie went to town and got a job, and in 1950 I got married.
Okay. So you pretty well carried the work on the farm then for a couple of years there. Right?
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We each had our jobs that we had to do, and we did them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My father supervised, but it must have been terribly aggravating for him to not be able to do anything.
Was the stroke something that paralyzed him?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So he was the consultant.
Yes, he was. Yes. Yeah. And we did what we were told. But we managed, and it was no big hardship because we'd been taught to work from the time we could.
Sure. So that would mean seeding and running the tractor.
We milked cows and put the crop in and took it off.
Wow. And you probably have pigs and chickens.
Oh, sure. Yes. And we worked with horses then.
Oh. I was going to ask you whether you'd been riding horses.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's a very rich, rich experience, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then you, let's just talk a little bit about what were some of the things you did in those days just to have fun. in the community?
We played ball.
Yeah.
At school, we played football. Mm-hmm. All kinds of children's games.
Mm-hmm. Did you have dances at the school and that kind of thing?
Not at the school, but they did in the hall. Mm-hmm. Before Christmas, we always had a concert. So that gave us a lot of leeway for our our singing and our acting and storytelling. And
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you ever do pie social things?
Yes. And they did box socials. I only entered that one time when I was, I think, 14. And the fellow that bought my box lunch was the father of one of my classmates. Now, there was nothing wrong with the man, but but the age difference was quite considerable. So I never did that again.
Yeah, I've heard about the box socials, you know.
Sometimes they were good and sometimes they weren't so good.
Yeah.
But
kind of a fun thing.
Mm-hmm. It was, yes. But to a 14-year-old girl, it wasn't really fun.
Somebody's dad.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of just the location of the farm, like I said, it was across the river because you'd mentioned that.
Yes.
How far down that road, like right into the Saudi area, is your farm?
We were 13 miles from town.
Oh, okay.
From the river. Mm-hmm. And in the summer, we crossed the river on the ferry. And when there was a lot of ice, and they would cross the river in the cage. And then in the winter, we crossed on the ice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it all went with the seasons, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How you got across.
Yes. Yes.
Do you remember when they built the bridge?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That must have been a big adventure.
Oh, that was quite a thing right at that time to have a bridge across the river. It was tremendous.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the cage, it only allowed a person, didn't it? One person at a time?
Maybe two or three.
If they were.
Plus whoever was maneuvering the thing.
Okay.
No, they weren't very big. But people took pigs and dogs and or whatever. Anything that needed to cross the river had to be transported through that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you were saying that you, 1950, you got married. Now, you had put in 2 years at the farm keeping things together,
mm-hmm.
with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, did you come to town and get a job, or did you...
No, I was a stay-at-home mom for about 8 years.
No, but I mean before you met.
No, before I married? No,
yeah.
No.
Okay, so it was off the farm.
Just right off the farm,
mm-hmm.
Right.
How did you meet?
My sister Agnes was working at the hospital, and the boys' hostel was just down the street.
Oh.
And... That's how I met him.
And where was the hostel?
Right now, it's the big... I think when it wasn't the hostel anymore, I think Belitas bought it, and it was a rental apartment. They had apartments. And it's now an apartment building. And it's kind of a greeny color. It's just... south of the United Church.
Oh, that big green house.
Yeah, that's... the United Church was just across the alley from the old hospital.
Yes, okay. So.
And they had a nurse's residence just back in there somewhere.
So the hostel was putting up young men who had come to work in the area?
Just, they were going to school.
Oh, they were going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
they had a boys' hostel and a girls' hostel.
Oh, okay.
I think the girls' hostel is where Little Manor is now.
So all in that general area?
In that general area, mm-hmm. Yes.
So you met him because he was... close to the hospital?
Yes, yes.
All
right,
so 1950.
Yeah. But Gordon grew up in the Fairhaven area.
Gordon?
My husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they all had to come in for school, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, carry on.
Oh, what comes next? There was bad things happened. I lost 4 babies and died as infants. And in 1959, when just after my daughter Susan died, I felt a need for a change. So I got a job working for AGT on the switchboard. And Nellie Carroll was our agent.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there off and on for about 6 years. Well, until 1964 when they went direct dial.
Mm.
And during that time, Pat and Lynn were born. And Holly and Shirley.
So.
And when telephone office went direct dial, I was, of course, without a job. My husband was working for, Northland Utilities at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day, I was sitting there, and I thought, well, I should be doing something. So I walked up to the hospital and applied for a job on the housekeeping staff.
Oh, okay.
And so about a week and a half later, Mrs. Parr, who was the administrator then, knew my sister Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
So she was talking to Dorothy and she said, do you think your sister would like to come and work for a while as a ward aide? So she said, if you think she does, just tell her to come and see me. So they hired me on for 10 weeks. At that time, they got student aides that would come here for 10 weeks as part of their training. They had applied for 4 and only got 3. So they needed someone else,
mm-hmm.
for that 10 weeks. I started work on the 7th of December in 1964. I left in June of 1976.
My goodness.
It was a long 10 weeks.
Yes, more like 12
and
years.
And at that time I moved to Edmonton. My marriage had blown up in my face. And I went to Edmonton and I got a job at the Edmonton General in Central Supply. And I worked there for a year and a half and then I transferred to the lab, the front office in the lab.
At the General?
At the General.
Okay.
And I worked there until November of 79. Just after Bentley and I married.
Okay.
So I worked there until then. And then I was at home again with nothing to do.
Were you still in Edmonton?
I was still in Edmonton. Bentley was working as a carpenter in Fort McMurray.
Oh, my.
And so he was gone all week and would be just home on weekends. So he talked me into running for the board of managers of our condominium. So I did that for about 2 years. I was president for a year and vice president for a year. Mm-hmm. And then we started going south for the winter. Mm-hmm. And we did that for 20 years. My children were all grown and had grandchildren by that time. Mm-hmm. In 1982, Bentley and I moved back to Athabasca, to his home farm in the Grossmont area.
Oh, Grossmont. Okay.
Bentley was 4 years old when they moved onto that farm, and it was his lifelong home.
Oh, I see.
And so we still went south for the winter. We lived in a trailer for 12 months of the year for 8 years. And then we decided we'd better start building a house.
Oh, I see. So there was no farms, homes?
No, the home farm had burned years before.
I see.
And we lived there, and we went south for another few years. And then Bentley's health started to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. And so we decided not to go. The last year we were there, Bentley just did not want to go anymore. He had lost three of his very good friends there, and he didn't want to go there anymore. So then we started building our home here.
Mm. And when you say that, you were building it out in the farm, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Bentley was a journeyman carpenter, so we started building our house, and someone asked me one time, you know, well, how did we work together? Did we get along all right? And I said, well, as long as I remembered that he was the captain and I was the crew, we got along fine. No, we never had any problems in working together. Uh-huh. I did what I could, and then he took up the slack.
Well, I mean, for somebody who took over the farm, when you were what, about 18 or something?
Oh, no, I was 13 when my father got sick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so yeah, it was 13. Way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you had lots of experience.
Yes, yeah. So we moved back there. We still lived in a trailer there. And Bentley hadn't lived on the farm for quite a number of years. Mm-hmm. And so everything was all overgrown, so just for something to do, I started clearing up the shelter belt. Because at that time, everything was so overgrown that I couldn't see you that far from where you were standing.
Oh, yeah.
So I always teased Bentley that when we got married, he told me he didn't want me to work anymore, and then he took me back to the farm and handed me an axe. So I started that, and then after a while, Bentley started helping too, and so we cleared out the whole shelter belt and started working on the house yard, which ended up to be about 3 acres. It was a huge area.
Garden and all the rest.
Oh, yes, yeah. And I mowed the lawn. I had a push lawnmower. Took me 3 days to do it.
Oh, my goodness. That's labor intensive.
Yeah.
Was it close to Grossmont Hall?
No. we were 8 miles west from Athabasca and 2 miles south.
Oh, south.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a 2 mile road, and there were nine or ten families on that 2 miles.
Was that where the Nicholsons were?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. Same road as Nicholson's.
The same road, yeah. Oh. Yes. And Ron Edwards and Bradfields,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Malotte's.
Yeah.
When Donna and Lyle Lewis got married, then they moved. They were just across the street from us,
mm-hmm.
And they raised their family there, and those three children just made our lives. They would come over as soon as they were able to come over. Although Renee, who was the youngest, she could ride her trike over, but she was always too tired to ride at home, so we always had to give her a ride. But
how many years were you out there then?
Well, from 82 till Bentley died in 2011.
A lot of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were married for 32 years.
My goodness.
Yeah. And then I moved here.
Yeah, that must have been hard.
Mm-hmm. I'd never lived alone before. I had lived in town, so that was no big change, but living alone was really hard. Sitting down to the table at mealtime was just something I still can't do.
Because there's nobody else around.
There's
the
no
table.
One else there.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. I sold the farm in 2013. I haven't been back. Yeah.
Seems like, you know, there's an old adage, never go back to
the... That's right, that's right.
Which
yeah.
You,
yeah.
Yeah. You have certain memories of
yeah.
How it was.
Right. But I keep busy.
You certainly do. Yeah.
I belong to four choirs.
Oh, I didn't realize it was four.
Mm-hmm.
Marian Singers as well.
Yes. The church choir.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Memories Choir. The New Heritage Singers, which is led by Marvin Rogers.
Okay.
I also belong to the Country Music Association. I don't do very little for church work anymore.
You did a lot though.
But over the years,
the United Church.
Over the years, I have.
Yes.
Yeah. And pretty much that is my life, the church and community work, visiting people. And Marian Singers sing at twice a month at Pleasant Valley Lodge, twice a month at Auxiliary, and once a month at Extendicare. And at Christmas time we sing all different places. And
mm-hmm. And the last few years you've been coordinating the St. Patrick's
yes.
special
yes.
Musical
yes.
At the United Church, right?
Yes, yes I have, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I enjoyed that, yeah.
Well, you do a fine job.
Well, I did the Fringe thing 1 year.
Oh, did you?
I did. And it was a lot of work, a lot of time consuming. And
yes.
Yeah. I taught line dancing here. I started the line dancing classes in Athabasca. I went for luncheon at Karen Bradfield's one day, and I came home a dance instructor. I had done a lot of line dancing in Arizona. And so the group of them wanted to learn, and I said, well, I'll do what I can. So I taught for a few years. And when we headed south in the fall, Marion Katakoff took over. And we did that for many years. Mm-hmm. The second year, I had a beginner's class, and we did that at the United Church.
The line dancing?
The line dancing, oh. Yes. Just a beginner's class.
Sure.
Yeah, there were three ladies in the beginner's class, and then by autumn, then they knew enough they could join the more
the
more professional ones.
Oh, we still got line dancing going.
Oh, yes, there is. Yes. Mm-hmm. I did Hawaiian dancing in Arizona. And that kind of branched off into a interpretive dancing.
Oh.
You created your own dance to the music.
That's neat.
I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the Hawaiian dancing, but then my knees got so bad I couldn't do any of them. Mm-hmm. So that's when Judy Edwards took over the line dancing, and she's still doing it.
Yes, yes. Well, yes, I just know what's going on.
She's starting up a class, I think, at Pleasant Valley Lodge.
In line dancing?
I think so.
Good for her.
Yes, yes. But, you know, there are things happen with line dancing that you never expect, and I knew everyone enjoyed doing the dances, but I was asked one time to go up to the health unit and work with some people from Blue Heron. And they told me that there was a lady from Blue Heron that was probably 45 years old, and they could not get her interested in anything.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, see what you can do with the dancing. Well, as soon as we started dancing, she just bloomed.
Is that right?
And they couldn't believe her. So there were some very good things happened that way, yes.
Yeah, you never know, as you say.
That's right, yeah. Yes. The best things happen when you least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
The United Church has been a tremendous support for me.
Mm-hmm. You've seen many ministers come and go over the years.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Lots of changes.
Yeah, when Bruce was here, we did church services at Auxiliary and Extended Care. You know, which now Monica is starting again.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is good. And then when Bruce quit, then Marion and I did the memorial services at Extended Care for a number of years.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. So it keeps me busy.
Well, for sure. And now you've got a nice nest here in...
Yes. Yes, the people here, I love them. They're just great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you become very attached to them.
Mm-hmm. And the name of the place here is
Pioneer Place.
That's right. And that kind of says it all, doesn't it? Pioneer Place.
Yes.
Because I mean,
you've
been a pioneer in so many different ways.
Yes, I guess so. My father came in 1912. He and a friend were headed west from Ontario, was where he grew up, and they were heading west to see the Rocky Mountains.
Just for a trip?
Just for a trip.
Oh.
And they stopped in Edmonton, and he heard about all this land that was available at a place called Athabasca, and so he filed on a homestead there. He never went back to Ontario. He never saw his friend again, and he never did see the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, he never got
he
as far
never
as
did see the Rocky Mountains.
Interesting. Well, life plays tricks on you.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And I think about a year after he settled here, he was working at Dent's Sawmill at Tomato Creek. And that's where he met my mother. And but his neighbor to the on the quarter next to his was Chris Smelsley, whom he had worked with in Ontario.
Oh, for heaven's
before they
sakes.
Came here.
Really?
And neither of them knew that the other was here.
My goodness.
Yeah.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Goodwin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was Tomato Creek that
yes.
she
yeah.
lived?
Yes. You know, I often think about my mother in that year. She was 14 when they moved to Canada from the States. And to move from a city where they had electricity and all the comforts that they enjoyed back then,
mm-hmm.
to move to a place that was out in the middle of nowhere. It must have been really hard for the women.
Oh.
It was hard for the men, but I think it must have been harder for the women.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think most of them grew up with in some affluent home.
Mm-hmm.
And to move here where there was
so little.
Mm-hmm.
Is she making her own butter and all that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There was very little bought at the stores in those early days.
Mm-hmm.
Tea and coffee and sugar.
Sure.
Things that they couldn't grow.
What about flour?
They bought flour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And salt, I guess.
She baked bread, I think, every second day. Loaves and loaves of
oh, unsung heroes, eh?
Yes.
And just a question going back to your mom and the farm. Did she stay on the farm much longer after?
I think for about...
After your dad
about
died?
About 3 years.
Just three?
Mm-hmm. And then she moved to town. And she just stayed with family.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most of the time she stayed with Nettie. Nettie worked at that time, and I think Mom was a big help to her, and
sure,
she was a big help to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember, it must have been about 1970 when Mom moved to Pleasant Valley Lodge.
Oh, so she went into the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there until 81, I guess it is, when she developed cancer. And then a year later, she wasn't able to stay at the lodge anymore, and so she moved to Grand Prairie. My sister Hattie was there.
Oh, I see.
And she moved there and lived in a senior's residence.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived there until she passed away in 1988.
And your daughters, are they around?
Lynn is in Camrose. She's working for the literacy program in Camrose. Mm-hmm. Her husband's retired. And they have three boys.
Mm-hmm.
We're all married and have two grandchildren, two little balls of fire. Such energy the children have.
I know.
Holly is in Edmonton. Her children are all grown.
Mm-hmm.
And she has two grandchildren. Lynn is in Morinville. She works at Walmart. She's supervisor in the women's clothing department.
Mm-hmm.
And she has one daughter and two sons and one grandchild.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not that far away?
Not that far.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention? Or?
Just the change in the town.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, and trying to look at even just down Main Street and try to remember what was where this building was, where Shaw's was, and what's
Shaw's
there now,
store?
And Parker's store, and the John Deere agency, and all the years, the different people that worked and lived in those places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The hotel is still there.
Yeah.
Still there. Yeah. And the Royal Cafe is still there. The buildings are still there, but they've been changed, and the fronts have been changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is the Royal Cafe? Not Mike's, what used to be Mike's general store.
No, Mike's was across the street from the Royal Cafe.
Oh, so was where the drugstore is, maybe.
Where the Royal Cafe was, what is there now? There's a little restaurant in there. Oh, the health food store.
Oh.
Is that part of it? That's what I say. It's hard to remember.
Yeah.
What is where it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, health food store is down from the post office.
Yes, yes, yes.
But, I know when I look at old photographs, I can only pick out the Union and maybe one other
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Because AGT is now Penny's Beauty Salon.
That's right. Yeah.
And the telegraph office was next door to AGT building.
Okay.
Yeah.
There used to be the dairy, remember?
Yes.
On that side too, wasn't it?
That became McLeod's.
Yeah. Okay.
And what's there now?
A dollar store.
Dollar store. That's right. The dollar store is there now.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was
yeah. Much has had their bakery on the east side of Main Street, and he was the town magistrate, and he also was. You had to go there to get your driver's license or car or vehicle registrations, and to get your driver's license. I never ever went to him to get a driver's license, but I've heard tell that, you know, when they'd ask, he had to ask these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know the answer, he'd tell you what they were. Go on. And that he was the worst driver in town.
That's very different nowadays, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the days when you could go in when you were 16 and just get your driver's license.
Yes, yes.
Without doing anything, just say you were 16.
Yes, yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. I think I was 40 years old when I got my first driver's license.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
I had no choice. We were moved out to the farm 10 miles south of Athabasca.
Sure.
I worked at the hospital then.
I'm sure you've never regretted that.
No, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
Although at my age, I'm starting to think about whether I should be driving or not. Not that I think there's really anything wrong with my driving, but it's these winters and the snow, and I can't do the upkeep.
Yes.
So the last two winters I've really thought about just not driving for the winter, but then
and but summer then comes.
I've become very independent and becoming dependent right now is hard for me.
Gonna fight it all the way, right?
I will. No. Won't go gentle into that good night.
Yeah. Well, you certainly had lots of things, rich experiences in your lifetime.
Yes. Yes.
And you're still busy. And enjoying life, I would think.
Yes. I learned to swim when I was 43. I learned to ride a bike when I was 43.
Well done.
Yeah. My first course in swimming I took at the Y in Edmonton, and I took the Positively Terrified of Water course, and I passed my pre-beginners with that. Then I took another course at the Londonderry pool, and I passed my beginners there. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one in the class that passed because I was the only one that could do could swim across the pool and do the breathing properly. And I did that because I couldn't hold my breath, and the rest of them could. So I was the only one that passed. And then we started going south, and there were three people that gave swimming lessons. So I took more lessons there.
Lost your fear of water.
Yes, yes, yes.
That takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, I've done some things that were really hard. When I moved to Edmonton with three teenage daughters, sole supporter, it was hard.
Mm-hmm. And a big city to boot.
Yes. But you do what you have to do, mm-hmm. and it all worked out okay.
Yes.